Wayne had read a real interesting book once about a fellow what went back in time. It had happened because he'd turned on too many electric switches at once. That was ridiculous, but the book had been written when electricity had been new, so it was forgivable. People had thought some funny stuff about electricity back then. Wayne himself had tried to fill a bucket with it once. He found himself thinking of that story as he scoured the nearby alleys for signs of the set's agents. See, the book had been all about how changing the past was this dangerous thing. The fellow in it had broken some branches off a tree, and when he'd returned to the future, his father had liked eating butter on his sandwiches instead of mayo. Also, sapient lions had ruled the city. Wayne had thought there was something off about the story. When he'd mentioned it to friends, Nod had told him of another one with the same idea, where a fellow was sent back in time through the intricacies of indoor plumbing and an unfortunately large flush. And he had changed things by eating a bagel, then returned to discover that everybody spoke backward and no one wore shirts anymore. This book had been better than the first one on account of it having more cussing. Plus, the no shirts part being universally applied and very descriptively relayed. But still, Wayne found the idea uncomfortable. He traded a beggar, unbeknownst to the fellow, a stack of cash for a dirty handkerchief. Wayne liked it on account of it having a little bunny sewn in the corner. He was starting to figure out why those stories bothered him. They had this sense that changing the future was frightening and dangerous. But didn't people change it every day? Wayne wondered regarding the choices people made. Rushing through their lives, eating bagels, breaking twigs, each of them changing the future. Shouldn't they all worry about that a little more? Worry how they were changing the future right now, rather than writing books about people doing it in the past? Even if they couldn't know some things, there was a lot they could anticipate. They might not make that future have talking lions or whatnot, but they might make it have angrier, sadder people. Maybe stories about fellas quietly making the world better were just too dull. Sounded boring, actually. Maybe if the people in them wore no shirts... A hand wrapped around Wayne's mouth from behind. He almost killed the fellow, but it smelled like wax, so... Yep, it was wax. The man eased Wayne back into an alleyway, then pulled him down beside some rubbish as someone passed on the street. Telson searching around, annoyed. After she was gone, Wax removed his hand.
You let her go?
Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
But it feels more like I escaped.
Wax nodded his head in the other direction and they snuck away.
I have to say that there are better methods of getting my attention.
You're not supposed to take friends captive, Wax, unless it involves a safe word and stretchy ropes.
Stretchy ropes?
More fun if you can move a little.
I got to test them since I got to be the one getting tied up. You know, on account of the fact that my girlfriend could turn into a puddle of jelly on command, kinda undermines the point of bondage.
They slipped out onto the street.
I did not need to know any of that, Wayne. Could you maybe avoid being crass on the missions Harmony specifically sent us on?
Hey, now, that's not crass. Melan is a divine being, chosen by Harmony.
I figure dating her was basically like going to church, you know?
And the stretchy ropes?
Metaphor for us all being bound by God's will?
They shared a look, then Wax actually grinned as he shook his head. Good. Guy was too uptight these days, what with parenthood, being a senator, and having to save the whole damn city now and then. Hoyd pulled up in the car to get them, per Wayne's earlier request, but Telson was still lurking around. So Wax and Wayne slipped out another way and entered a busy street of bustling people, full of bilming idiots what had no idea how difficult they was making life. Though he supposed that was too much of a generalization. There were plenty of people in bilming that weren't idiots. They came from out of town to gawk at all the idiots.
Did you get a lead out of Telson?
Maybe.
Well, I've definitely got a lead.
You do? Thank Harmony.
Yup.
There's a shining good pub 3 streets over. 2 different bums swore by it.
Wayne earned a real good glare out of that one. Made him feel all proud of himself. smiles, then glares, then smiles, then glares. They pulled at a person like Taffy, keeping them limber.
I had to get away from Telson. I'm sure she was stalling, trying to keep me occupied.
Seems like she's worried we can stop her.
Agreed, which is encouraging. But I won't get anything useful from her. Not in time. We need someone else to interrogate. She gave me a lead. I think the Lord Mayor deserves a visit.
Here now, that's an idea.
They stopped on the street, people giving them a wide berth. The folks here seemed to dress with a lot more variety than in Ellendale, but nobody wore guns. Wax stood out like a big old wart on a fellow's face. The type that you really wanted to pop to see what oozed out.
We don't exactly blend in, do we?
Mate, you're wearing a rust and mist coat.
They're comfy.
They draw attention.
You like attention.
Depends on who's looking.
He eyed Wax.
Never have figured out how to go upstairs in one of those things without tripping over my own feet.
I've never had any trouble.
Figured. Mist coats appeared like a regular piece of clothing, but Wayne was sure they were secretly something else. Made of mist or such. And since Harmony liked Wax, the coat didn't trip him. Wasn't fair that God liked Wax better. Wayne didn't mean to blaspheme when he got drunk. It just slipped out. And really, if the blasphemy leaked out, didn't that mean he was more pious afterward? That was why he got drunk so often. That and absolutely no other reason. The two of them moved to the side of the street in the mouth of an alleyway to plan. Wax glared right smartly at anyone who gawked, sending them on their way.
So, we should choose our next course soon. Because if I somehow actually manage to lose the set when slipping away from Telson, they'll surely spot us before too long.
Because you stand out like pink shoes on a pallbearer.
Because I stand out like pink shoes on a pallbearer.
I like the idea of shaking down in drone, on principle at least. But I worry about how much attention that would draw, so maybe we don't need to interrogate him specifically. After all, we do know where he lives.
Wayne pointed across the city, up the road, to the silvery white building sitting at the end. It wasn't the highest building in town. The central spire, dominating the very middle of the city, was the highest by a lot. And they were even adding to it at the top, it seemed, with new construction. Still, there was a certain majesty about the mayor's mansion. The kind that said, "Oi, mate, don't use words like oi, mate, round here."
Introne is obviously involved in all of this. He's the type to have secrets written down somewhere. Maybe give us a lead on where that bomb is being kept. He's probably got a safe or something full of answers.
You just said shaking him down would create another incident. Now you're suggesting we ransack his mansion?
I'm suggesting that once we have completed our radio communication, we give the esteemed Lord Mayor an evening turn-down service with mints on his pillow, folded towels in the shape of a monkey, and a light despoiling of his intimate affairs. Done with only the most delicate attention, mind you. A courteous looting. An upper-class plundering.
Is that so?
Wayne leaned in.
I mean, we'll still break all his stuff and steal his secrets. I just won't fart on his chair before we go. You know, to keep things classy.
Well, I suppose that does walk the line between accosting the man himself and doing something that has a good chance of success. Let's do it.
Wayne grinned.
But I'll do the ransacking. You handle the distraction.